In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As we celebrate the feast today of Teresa of the Child Jesus, I look back a little bit on my seminary childhood and the memories I have of keeping this feast and of honoring this saint back in those days. I also think of a time right after my priestly ordination when I was invited to go down the hill and celebrate Holy Mass at the House of the Royal Heart, the mother house of our sister Adores, down the hill from the seminary. And I was invited to dinner there with some other canons and to have dinner at the home of our sisters. And amidst smiles and infectious laughter, the sisters spoke to the newly ordained priests and told them a little bit about daily life in their house. For 7 years, these sisters had known us only from a great distance, but they knew to pray for us, and they were overjoyed to see that we had made it to ordination day. And they told me they take no greater joy than in the annual chapter where they can see all the priests whom they pray for throughout the year and learn about their apostolates. Who can say to what extent the prayers of our sisters obtained for us the grace to persevere during our years of formation? And if our first years in the priesthood have been fruitful, how much of our good harvest is owed to their hours of adoration before our Lord's royal Eucharistic heart? We shall know only at the end of time. But the sisters live as though they knew already. Their prayers mean everything, because prayer is everything. Prayer is the lifting of the mind to God, and the spiritual life is nothing other than that. And no one, regardless of his state of life, should be spending his life doing anything else. That is a gentle reminder we received from Our Lady of Fatima when she told us that on these first Saturdays, one of the things we had to do to keep the first Saturdays well is spend some time meditating on her mysteries. That is, aside from praying our rosary, spending a good quarter of an hour contemplating the mysteries of the life of Jesus and Mary, which we find in our rosary. And you know I have spoken to you in past sermons, indeed last month on the first Saturday, about how to keep this meditation well. When I preached a few days ago for the Feast of St. Michael, I mentioned that the gospel for that day is the same as the gospel for the guardian angels. Unless you become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is, of course, also the gospel for today's feast, the feast of little Saint Therese. Perhaps it is hard for you to imagine that little Saint Therese and big Saint Michael are close friends in heaven, but indeed they are. Both of them we are called to venerate and to call upon for intercession and for help, for that is what we are to do with all saints. Some saints, though, we are to imitate more than others. We are actually to imitate St. Michael and St. Therese in the same way. St. Therese, we have an example from life here on earth, whereas St. Michael, we only have the example of that great battle in heaven so long ago, when he cried out in the face of the prideful angels, "Who is like God?" and so earned his name, Michael. This saint whom we commemorate today with the same gospel of childhood is a patroness of the Institute, because she is invoked by the whole Catholic Church as the celestial patroness of all the Catholic missions. This little flower, as she has so long been called, who never left Mary's Garden of Delight, a little novice who never left her Carmel and died of tuberculosis at the age of 24, this little spark of life is honored today as patroness of the missions. In her humble village of Lisieux in northern France, there now stands an enormous basilica where priests and faithful of the Institute travel every year to make an annual pilgrimage for vocations. Little Thérèse said, "I will spend my heaven doing good upon earth." And the pilgrimage which we make to her shrine every October never fails to yield plentiful vocations the following September. In this age when the whole world is again mission territory, we must not hesitate to fly to this heavenly helper whom the Church has proposed to us. But as I just reminded you, every saint is here to be venerated and to be called upon for aid. But some saints especially are here to be imitated. And Saint Therese is one of them. Of course, our own sisters imitate Saint Therese by their state of life as spouses of Jesus Christ. And some of you may be called to do likewise. But there is another way to imitate her, which is open to all of us. That is why I would like to remind you for a moment a little bit about the little way of Saint Therese. People always seem to have some misunderstandings about the little way, if they've ever heard of it. And sometimes people tend to dismiss it as just a series of small penances to make up for the fact that we are not capable of big penances. We cannot live on bread and water all through Lent or sleep on a bed of nails. And so we give up salt and pepper. We deny ourselves that extra blanket on a cold night. I would say that the little way is actually full of big penances, but they are not the same kind of penances as I was just talking about. Also very important to remember is that the little way is not a substitute for perfection. It's not settling for something less than perfection. God said to the ancient Hebrews, "You shall be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." And our Lord did not change this in his teaching from the Mount. No, he said, "Be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect." Little Saint Therese herself said, "I want to be a great saint." The little way is all about being perfect. Perfect at what God calls you to be. The little way also is not some challenge to religious life, rules for the spiritual life that have come down to us through the ages. It's not a challenge to what has always been called asceticism, that is, the system of spiritual exercises. No, it does not deny that there are good rules and methods in the spiritual life. There are, though, some things which you'll never find in the little way. You won't find violent mortifications, hair shirts, lashes, and the like. Nor will you find any rigorous method in prayer. If you've determined with your spiritual director that such methods are important for you and they are fruitful for you, that is perfectly fine. Nevertheless, it is not something you'll find in the little way of Saint Therese. With little Saint Therese, we think more of that story of the man who was found in church by the holy curate of Ars, whom he found simply there in silence for hours on end. And he asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm praying." He said, "But I don't hear you saying anything." And the man says, "No, I look at my God and he looks back at me." This captures very much that simple method of prayer that we find in the little way. It is also a reminder of something that is true for everyone, no matter what school of spirituality you follow, that we do not look for extraordinary spiritual favors, visions, levitations, ecstasies. These things happen to certain people, if God so wills, but they are not a sign of holiness. How then do we sum up the little way? I want you to remember this well, especially all young ladies who are here today, for it is a very important lesson for you. Saint Therese tells us the little way is to recognize one's nothingness, to expect all things from the good Lord, just as a little child expects all things from its father. It is not to be troubled by anything. Even among poor people, she says, a child is given all it needs, as long as it is very little. But as soon as it has grown up, the father does not want to support it any longer and says, get to work. Now you are able to take care of yourself. Because I never want to hear these words, I do not want to grow up, feeling that I can never earn my living, that is, eternal life in heaven. I don't want to grow up. Normally, when I talk to the young men in a group, as I've done so many times over the years, I have warned them that the world never wants them to grow up. That is true. The world does not want men. Therefore, they are very content to find men, as it were, in their 20s, in their 30s, even their 40s, still sitting around playing video games. No, we don't want a world full of true gentlemen who can govern this world and lead it toward heaven. Therefore, the world is always telling boys that they should stay doing boyish things. But when it comes to girls, although this is certainly true in a way of boys as well, what the world is telling you, young ladies, is to grow up as fast as you can, and to grow up very much in the wrong way. That is why young ladies can take especially to heart the words of Saint Therese today, when she says, I do not want to grow up. When a young girl falls into sin, and God forbid if she falls into grave sin, this is what causes her to grow up very much in the wrong way, to grow up malformed, to grow up in sin and lose that spiritual childhood, which Saint Therese is talking about today. It does not mean that you spend the rest of your life playing games, but it does mean that you keep your baptismal innocence and you stay away from sin all growing up, so that you maintain that spirit of a child, which is able to receive instruction from God, to recognize your nothingness, and so receive the grace you need to merit eternal life. That brings us to another point, which is that this little way means that you must not attribute to yourself the virtues that you practice, believing that you, all by yourself, can do something good. No, it is to acknowledge that the good Lord has placed these treasures in the hands of his little child so that the child can make use of them as needed, but always as the treasures of the good Lord. Finally, as Saint Therese teaches us, following the little way means not being discouraged by one's faults, because children, she says, often fall, but they are too little to hurt themselves badly. Keeping the spirit of a child means that when, God forbid, we do have the misfortune to fall into sin, we are not hurt as badly as one who has grown old with pride. What then is the big penance of the little way? The big penance in store for us, if we choose to follow this way of the saint we honor today, is that we must apply this passage of the gospel to our lives. Becoming little children means gaining the definitive victory over our pride. Today's gospel is all about the virtue of humility. And it is worth remembering that humility is not the virtue which is called the angelic virtue. Chastity is called the angelic virtue because all the angels possess it. They are all pure spirits. So we can be said to be chaste or pure when we resemble the angels, because we remember that we are more spiritual than we are physical. But this gospel of spiritual childhood insists on another virtue. The virtue of humility will never be called the angelic virtue, because only some of the angels possess that virtue, whereas there are very many who did not. Humility is the virtue of those who chose the camp of St. Michael and proclaimed, "Who is like God?" And so I implore you today, do not grow old before your time. Being old is sullen and prideful, and your time is the day of judgment. And so whether you are sisters, mothers, fathers, sons, or priests, you were all called to be little children. You were called to have a boundless hope founded on the knowledge of your own poverty and of God's mercy, who is almighty and all-loving, who, when this short childhood on earth is over, will take us to himself and, like an indulgent father, will grant us every good thing we have longed for. Amen.